The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Lots to get to on today's program, quite a few sound bites, so I'm not sure if we'll have time at the end for a study, but hopefully we can reserve some extra time for that on tomorrow's show, the show that is posted there at the top for the entire weekend, so you can look forward to that. A nice chill in the air, by the way, coming out of the house this morning. It's not exactly cold yet, but it does feel like we're drawing close to the Feast of Tabernacles, now into the month of October, October the 3rd already, and many people, of course, making plans for their feast travel that'll be taking place through next week. So lots to look forward to in the weeks ahead. Well, yesterday, President Trump just absolutely unloaded again on the media, on his Democratic opponents. And we've pulled together all the best sound bites in case you missed some of those yesterday. But before that, of course, the big story, what was kind of connected with all of this, is that Adam Schiff, he was the chairman of this House Intel Committee. And it was revealed yesterday by the New York Times that he colluded with the anti-Trump CIA officer before that officer even filed his whistleblower complaint against the president. And the Times proved that Mr. Schiff also lied, as he's been caught doing before. As I say, we learned all of this from the New York Times, and I'll talk later about the motivation behind this Times report. President Trump came out in his news conference with the president of Finland. He had a copy of the New York Times article in his suit pocket and was at one point waving it out in front of the reporters, which was somewhat comical, and that's what led to some of the fireworks that we'll get into later. But again, first, this Times report exposing more lies and more deceit from the Democrats. Here's the essence, really, of what happened. I'll quote from the Times here in a second. But the whistleblower back in August, days before the complaint was filed, I think that was on August 12th, he went to Schiff's office before going to the intelligence community or following, rather, the intelligence community whistleblower procedures, going through the intelligence community inspector general, the ICIG. And so Schiff knew all about what was coming, the complaint that was about to be filed. And, of course, we'll probably learn more about how involved Schiff was in the actual whistleblower complaint. President Trump said yesterday that he helped write it, that Schiff helped write it. This congressman, and this, of course, all explains why Schiff was tweeting out things like this on August 28th. This is 6 weeks ago. He said, Trump is withholding vital military aid to Ukraine while his personal lawyer seeks help from the Ukraine government to investigate his political opponent. That would be Vice President Biden, or the former vice president. But here was Schiff 6 weeks ago saying that he was withholding aid from Ukraine. So he was talking about the quid pro quo back in late August, because he knew all about the complaint. He knew all about this whistleblower, and they were timing it to come out just at the appropriate time, when they thought they'd be able to take down this president. Finally, well, according to the New York Times yesterday, Schiff's team told this whistleblower that, well, you need to go back and file this complaint Make sure it's filed as an urgent concern. Oh, by the way, we've also got a lawyer that we recommend for you. He used to work for Chuck Schumer and Hillary Clinton. And then the whistleblower goes ahead and follows that advice, files the complaint, which means that Schiff can anticipate that this is coming down the pike. Here's how the New York Times reported on this yesterday. The Democratic head of the House Intelligence Committee, Representative Adam Schiff of California, learned about the outlines of a CIA officer's concerns that President Trump had abused his power days before the officer filed a whistleblower complaint. So this story is far from a hit job on Adam Schiff. This is really meant to get out in front of what was being exposed. That Ukraine hoax started to fall apart. We covered some of this last week with you. But it started to fall apart within days. And a lot of it was brought on by the president himself, who, even though he didn't want to do it, he went ahead and released the transcript of his discussion with the Ukrainian president. This is something that they weren't expecting. So here comes the New York Times basically saying that he knew about it, Schiff did, even days before it was filed. And it just highlights how serious this matter was. Well, this whistleblower complaint, it was filed on August 12th. So that means he knew days before that. This is going back to early August. The New York Times says the early account by the future whistleblower shows how determined he was. See, he's still, in their minds, he's still the hero, the whistleblower. He was just so determined. He had to blow the whistle. He had to expose the corruption in the Trump presidency. How determined he was to make known his allegations that Mr. Trump asked Ukraine's government to interfere on his behalf in the 2020 election. So there's the narrative. Still, and I've already covered the 540 words that they skipped over and how that the gist of the conversation was actually to seek help on the origins of the Trump-Russia collusion hoax. This is Donald Trump, together with his Attorney General William Barr, going back to 2016. Not 2020, but the Democrats want to make this about 2020 so that they can accuse the president. Well, you're just doing all of this in hopes that it will help your reelection chances. The Times says it also explains how Mr. Schiff knew to press for the complaint when the Trump administration initially blocked lawmakers from seeing it. So they kept it confidential, the White House. And here's Adam Schiff saying, well, we've learned about it. And, you know, there were leaks. We heard about it. Apparently he said seven or eight times, according to this complaint. He pressured the president of Ukraine. He withheld funding. He demanded action. There was a clear and definite quid pro quo. That's what the leaks were saying before the transcript was finally released. The Times says, before going to Congress, the CIA officer had a colleague convey his accusations to the agency's top lawyer. Concerned, listen to this. So he did report it to the agency's top lawyer, the CIA, concerned about how that avenue for airing his allegations was unfolding. The officer then approached a House Intelligence Committee aide, that would be Schiff's aide, alerting him to the accusation against Mr. Trump. In both cases, the original accusation was vague. So he didn't get it going quick enough through CIA channels. And so instead he went to Adam Schiff, a Democrat, a politician, to get this moving. The New York Times says the House staff member, following the committee's procedures, suggested the officer find a lawyer to advise him and file a whistleblower complaint. The aide shared some of what the officer conveyed to Mr. Schiff. The aide shared some of it, But evidently, he didn't share that much. He didn't reveal who the whistleblower was, things of that nature. That's what we're being told by the New York Times. Well, here is this exchange that Adam Schiff had. Keep in mind, the whistleblower complaint, it's filed in August 12th. He knew the contents of the complaint even days before that. In fact, his office was advising this whistleblower, colluding with the whistleblower. And if President Trump is right, helping the whistleblower write his complaint. And yet here is Adam Schiff on MSNBC just 2 weeks ago saying that, well, I don't even know who the whistleblower is and haven't talked to him. Clip one.
And a couple questions here on this whistleblower front. First off, have you heard from the whistleblower? Do you want to hear from the whistleblower? What protections could you provide to the whistleblower? And then you also said that the DNI is refusing to turn over this stuff, citing a request from a higher authority. The insinuation left, at least for me and others, was that the president himself had intervened. Is that the insinuation you sought to provide? And if so, what basis do you have for making that insinuation?
We have not spoken directly with the whistleblower. We would like to, but I'm sure the whistleblower has concerns that he has not been advised, as the law requires, by the Inspector General or the Director of National Intelligence, just as to how he is to communicate with Congress.
Just as to how he is to, we haven't talked to him, and he's concerned about how he's supposed to communicate with Congress. This is what he said 2 weeks ago, Schiff. In fact, he had communicated with Congress, Schiff's office, a month earlier. And there he is on MSNBC just 2 weeks ago. And a few days before that exchange that you just heard, he's issuing a subpoena saying, we've got to see the whistleblower's complaint. We know the White House is hiding something. They knew all about the complaint because they helped compose it. The president's son yesterday tweeted, Adam Schiff submitted a subpoena for the very document he helped create and stood in front of the American people and claimed he had no knowledge of this whistleblower. That's the truth. This is the latest hoax. They've gone from one hoax to the next for 3 years, and this one fell apart like a house of cards. This one didn't even last really more than a week. It started to unravel within days, of the president releasing that transcript. It started to unravel within days of Nancy Pelosi saying that they were going to go forward with impeachment proceedings or some kind of an impeachment investigation. She's been pretty vague on that. Sean Davis at the Federalist, he said, under federal law, listen to this, whistleblowers within the intelligence community are required to report any allegations of wrongdoing to the intelligence community inspector general. There's procedures. There's laws in place. Here again, it's just more lawlessness. It's going around protocol. It's going around procedures established by the CIA. Here's a CIA official working in the White House and then presumably claiming ignorance. Well, I didn't quite know what to do. I talked to an agency lawyer. That didn't go anywhere, so I just went to Adam Schiff's office. Sean Davis says the law does not provide any protection. Well, let me just back up. It gives the procedures about filing the complaint with the Inspector General. It says the law does not provide any protections to employees or contractors who bypass the process required by law and go directly to Congress, nor does it provide any avenue to disclose classified information to Congress without first going through the ICIG. So this is how there are certain protections in place for whistleblowers. But like Sean Davis brings out, if you don't go through the appropriate channels, you're not going to be protected, or at least you shouldn't be. Here's a whistleblower going to Adam Schiff first, someone who's lied repeatedly. Switching back to the New York Times, it says, as CIA and White House lawyers began following up on the complaint, the CIA officer became nervous, according to a person familiar with the matter. He learned that John Eisenberg, a deputy White House counsel and legal advisor to the National Security Advisor, was among those scrutinizing his initial allegation. Contacts in the National Security Council had also told the CIA officer that the White House lawyers had authorized records of Mr. Trump's call with Mr. Zelensky to be put in a highly classified computer system. So this is the New York Times insinuating that what was the bad behavior going on here was in the White House. That the CIA officer had to take the steps that he did because of all the nefarious activity going on in the White House. I guess they think that these calls with world leaders should just be wide open. They shouldn't be highly classified. This is the first time in history where we've just had a president of the United States and phone calls with leaders just being leaked routinely. It happened in 2017 twice with the leaders of Australia and the Philippines. No wonder the White House is saying, okay, let's put this in a highly classified computer system. Well, when this CIA mole, that's what he was, when he got wind of this, he thought, well, I better try to tell Adam Schiff about this. They're trying to conceal the contents of this conversation with the president of Ukraine. It says the CIA officer decided the complaint he had brought to Ms. Elwood was at risk of being swept aside, prompting him to go to lawmakers, Democrats, we can add, who conduct oversight of the intelligence agencies. He followed the advice of Mr. Schiff's aide and filed his complaint to Mr. Atkinson, that's the IG, and then through Mr. McGuire. And though, rather, Mr. McGuire, that's the director of national intelligence, blocked him from forwarding it to Congress, he did allow Mr. Atkinson to notify lawmakers of its existence. So they knew it existed, and then that's when the charade began. Schiff beginning to say, hey, we've got to subpoena this, we know you're hiding something, when in fact Schiff was one who helped create it. So they just went around. They went around, Mr. McGuire, and got what they wanted. Pursuing impeachment, this was the final straw that broke the camel's back. This is what finally pressured Nancy Pelosi into what she said that day before. The president said, well, all right, there's all this nonsense. There's so many lies being told. I'll just release the transcript, and everyone in the world can see it for themselves. The New York Times says, filing a complaint with Mr. Atkinson gave the whistleblower added protections against reprisals and also allowed him to legally report on classified information. By the time the whistleblower filed his complaint, Mr. Schiff and his staff knew at least vaguely what it contained. How convenient. How convenient. Coaching the whistleblower all the way through. Knowing exactly what the White House had concealed, coaching him all the way through, file the complaint this way, here, get this lawyer, and then we'll make sure that all of this is leaked and revealed at just the right time. Just a little bit more here from the Times. It says, Mr. Schiff released a letter seeking the complaint and suggested it could involve Mr. Trump or others in his administration. Mr. Schiff followed up by subpoenaing Mr. McGuire to testify before the Intelligence Committee. So he took it and ran with it, aggressively, Adam Schiff. It says, finally, Mr. Schiff's intense push took Mr. McGuire and his aides by surprise, current and former intelligence officials said. In other cases of lawmakers seeking classified material that the intelligence agencies were reluctant to share, including whistleblower complaints, both sides usually tried to resolve the matter by holding quiet discussions. So here's the DNI thinking it's, well, this isn't credible. Even the inspector general didn't want to hand over the whole complaint to Congress. And the reason for this is because it was just hearsay. as the whistleblower stated in his complaint, I didn't even hear it firsthand. I heard it secondhand. And then, of course, there's all of the shenanigans regarding the paperwork for even filing a whistleblower complaint, and the fact that before mid-August, it had to be firsthand knowledge. And the IG has come out since, well, that was just earlier this week, to say that they did make adjustments on their forms to allow for someone to file a complaint, even if it's based on secondhand knowledge. Sean Davis, switching back to the Federalist, he said the communication between the whistleblower and House Democrats prior to the complaint's filing also raises questions about whether Schiff and his committee staff coordinated with the ICIG regarding the watchdog's whistleblower forms and guidance, stating that firsthand information is required in order for the agency to properly investigate urgent concern complaints. So lots and lots of shady behavior. And here comes President Trump in the press conference yesterday, waving the New York Times, this piece, this article, waving this Times piece in front of the reporters. Here's what the president had to say at that conference, clip three.
Well, I think it's a scandal that he knew before. I go a step further. I think he probably helped write it. Okay? That's what the word is. And I think it's, I give a lot of respect for the New York Times for putting it out. Just happened as I'm walking up here, they handed it to me. And I said to Mike, I said, whoa, that's something. That's big stuff. That's a big story. He knew long before, and he helped write it too. It's a scam.
That's President Trump yesterday in his press conference offering rare praise for the New York Times. But why would the New York Times come out with this bombshell that really makes Adam Schiff look like a fool, like a liar? They're certainly not. Whenever there's a bombshell that exposes Democrats, you can be sure, talking about motivations here, you can be sure that the Times' intent is not to expose a great evil. It really is to preempt what's about to be exposed anyway. As I said, this story was unraveling the moment that it started. And there were those, I mentioned the Federalist, Mark Levin was on top of it on talk radio, putting the dates together, saying that this is all a concoction of Adam Schiff. This is Adam Schiff's doing. And then you have the intelligence community changing their forms, even as these complaints are being filed, saying that it's all right, I guess, for secondhand information as well. This is all happening in August and September. And people were piecing it together. And so the truth of it is, you probably have Adam Schiff working with the New York Times on this big revelation yesterday, because he knows that if it's the New York Times, he's going to be getting sympathetic coverage. Even when you read between the lines, it's exposing great evil. There's an advantage for these actors to get the New York Times to break the story, because then people can begin to spin it. Well, I read to you examples, the New York Times taking, even as they're exposing this, they're taking shots at the Trump administration, implying that there was all of this evil motivations, divining evil motivations, like with classifying conversations and so on. But the plan originally was to spring this on the president, to base the accusations on the whistleblower's complaint alone, which Schiff co-authored, and then proceed with impeachment proceedings. The thing is, President Trump had a little surprise for them. As he said yesterday, this is clip four.
Now, here's where I fooled him.
They never thought I'd release the conversation. They never thought in a million years that I'd release the conversation. When little Adam Schiff saw the text, when he read it, he couldn't believe it. When Nancy Pelosi, who worked a day early, Nancy Pelosi called for essentially impeachment, let's impeach the president, before she saw the transcript. And this is an exact word-for-word transcript of the conversation, right? Taken by very talented stenographers. Listen to me. So when she saw that, she went crazy. She said, we can't impeach him of this conversation. That's a great conversation. She went by the whistleblower. And the whistleblower was so bad, I wouldn't even think about it. But here's what happened. The whistleblower was wrong. The only thing that matters is the transcript of the actual conversation that I had with the president of Ukraine. It was perfect.
That's the president yesterday in the Oval Office. So you have the whistleblower's complaint, which was so bad, and then you have the actual transcript. Now, when Adam Schiff came out at the start of that hearing last Thursday, we played the clip for you already. Remember, he paraphrased. This was what the conversation, this is how the conversation went down, as far as he was concerned. And then he proceeded to just, well, to talk about something that wasn't even in the conversation. Accusing the president of being a mafia boss and there was a quid pro quo, all of these things. He just lied. He lied. And then later he said it was a joke and that the Republicans didn't get it. But he was basing his assessment of the conversation on what he helped the whistleblower produce, the complaint. So you have the complaint on the one hand from the secondhand hearsay, and then you have the actual transcript. That, as the president said there, is where he fooled them. They weren't expecting that. They weren't expecting it to be revealed. The transcript, that is. Here's what the president went on to say, clip 5.
This whole thing revolves around a simple conversation. And if you remember at the beginning, it was quid pro quo. That's all you heard about. And I think he said 7 or 8 times, quid pro. In other words, you're going to do that or we're not going to give you money. You're going to do this or we're not going to. I never said it. But when I heard these horrible stories come out, I had no choice but to release a conversation, which I hate to do, and I hope I don't have to do it again, with the leader of a country.
That's what he said yesterday about why he released the transcript. Because everything was being leaked. That too, no doubt, instigated by Adam Schiff. He helped produce the whistleblower's complaint. He coordinated when it was all to be exposed. He put out the subpoena. The White House has to give us this complaint. We need to see it. He knew the contents of it. They had to rush forward with impeachment. Never mind. Waiting to see what was actually said. They knew. They knew what was meant by the discussion. And so the impeachment inquiry was off and running. And then the president released that transcript. One more bit from him yesterday. This is clip 6.
Well, the whistleblower was very inaccurate. The whistleblower started this whole thing by writing a report on the conversation I had with the president of Ukraine. And the conversation was perfect. It couldn't have been nicer. I saw Rick Scott. I saw many of the senators talking about it, many of the congressmen talking about it. Not a thing wrong. Unless you heard the Adam Schiff version where he made up my conversation. He actually made it up. It should be criminal. It should be treasonous. He made it up. Every word of it made up and read to Congress as though I said it. And I'll tell you what, he should be forced to resign from Congress. Adam Schiff, he's a lowlife. He should be forced to resign. He took a perfect conversation, realized he couldn't read it to Congress because it was perfect. It was a very nice conversation. I knew many people were on the phone. Not only were many people on the phone, we had stenographers on the phone taking it down word for word. He took that conversation, which was perfect. He said, I can't read this. So he made up a conversation and he reported it and said it to Congress and to the American people. And it was horrible what he said. And that was supposed to be coming from me. but it was all fabricated. He should resign from office in disgrace. And frankly, they should look at him for treason because he is making up the words of the president of the United States. Not only words, but the meaning.
Not only words, but the meaning. See, he's divining it. This is what William Barr said about the Mueller investigators on finding all of these motives in President Trump's thinking. So here's Schiff creating this fake document. And he's the chairman of the Congressional Intelligence Committee. He's been in that position since the midterm elections last year. He was the one, even before that, who kept saying that he had all of the evidence of Trump-Russia collusion. He had it stashed away somewhere. And, of course, that evidence was never, ever revealed because it's not there. It was a big hoax. Schiff got a prank call, by the way. I forget when the date was on this. But I'm not sure if these comedians were Russians themselves or just faking a Russian accent. But he took it very seriously. They called him and said that they had some dirt on the president. And boy, he wanted it. He was quite happy to collude with Russians if it meant getting dirt on Donald Trump. Here's some snippets from this prank call made to Congressman Schiff. I guess it was last year, clip two.
And the materials that you can provide to the committee or to the FBI, would they corroborate this allegation?
Sure, of course. When they were in Ukraine, we got their conversation by the phone where they discussed those compromising materials. We are ready to provide it to FBI.
So you have recordings of both Sovchek and Buseva where they're discussing the compromising material on Mr. Trump?
Absolutely. All those compromising materials will never be released if Trump will cancel all Russian sanctions.
Okay. Well, obviously, we would welcome a chance to get copies of those recordings. So we will try to work with the FBI to figure out, along with your staff, how we can obtain copies of those.
That's Schiff saying that they would work with his office, they would work with the FBI to try to get these documents, these recordings, these pictures. I won't go into all the details on this. But here are comedians making a prank call, and he's taking it totally seriously as if it's coming from Russians. This is the kind of individual he is. This is how he operates. And the media, this is the thing. The media know this. They know about these kinds of reports. They know about these kinds of stories. But they cover them up. They press forward. The end justifies the means. In fact, the media, they're complicit in this. They're all part of the same team. If it brings down Donald Trump, it's all right to be unlawful. It's all right to break the rules. It's all right to collude with the Russians, to collude with the Ukrainians. If it brings down Donald Trump, it's all right to produce a fake whistleblower document. It's all right if Democrats collude with CIA officials in the White House. It's all right if transcripts of phone conversations are released to the public. I'm speaking more of the ones in 2017. Of course, the president released this one a week or two ago himself. He had to. But this is how they've been operating, and of course, what they especially hate is the fact that so much of this is being exposed. Well, as you heard from the president, this congressman from California, this is someone who should resign in disgrace and that they should look at him for treason. When we come back, we'll play you a few more clips of President Trump going at it with the media. He did it in the Oval Office yesterday. He did it during the press conference as well, out there with the president of Finland. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
They've been trying to impeach me from the day I got elected. I've been going through this for 3 years. They've been trying to impeach me from the day I got elected. And you know what? They failed. And this is the easiest one of all, because this one is based on one conversation. What about Obama's conversation with the president of Russia, where he says, hey, tell Vlad I'll talk to him after the election's over. I'll talk to him. Nobody reports that, right? That stuff you should report. But you people should be ashamed of yourself. We have the most dishonest media that you can imagine, and you should be ashamed of yourselves.
That's President Trump yesterday. In the Oval Office, not only hitting the media, but even going after Barack Obama. He said in the press conference before that about this conversation that Obama, the open mic conversation that he had with Medvedev, tell Vladimir I'll have more flexibility after my reelection. He said that the media's reaction to that was that, oh, isn't that cute? Isn't that nice? Whisper, whisper, wink, wink, nod, nod. You should be ashamed of yourselves, he said. We have the most dishonest media. They've been trying to impeach me for 3 years, he said. And that's true. Here again, the media know. We played the montage for you yesterday. This has been their objective from day one. In fact, even before that, we know from the struck page text messages that they had to have a plan B just in case. And these were people working at the FBI. The deep state. They had a plan in place just in case President Trump got elected. Well, he got elected, and then it was impeach, impeach, impeach. November of 2016, then again in December, all through 2017, all through 2018, all through 2019. And then it comes to a head last week, and look at how quickly it unravels. My father wrote in Saving America, Donald Trump has proved himself willing to take a stand where others have not. It's quite something to behold him resisting these anti-American forces. He's inspired a few other leaders to challenge the radical left and help expose it for what it is. He's inspired a few other leaders, but not many. The Senate, that's where the Republicans have a majority, and they've been pretty much silent through this. And the president has his spokespeople, and some of them are pretty good. Rudy Giuliani's been on TV quite a lot, one of his lawyers there. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, I guess she works for Fox now, so she's not officially on board with them now. Kellyanne Conway, but really, he hits them hardest when he's speaking for himself, and this is when the reaction is always from the left, I mean. Oh, he's unhinged. This just shows he's mentally unstable. In fact, what we saw yesterday is just more evidence of what my father wrote a year and a half ago. He's proven himself willing to take a stand. To take a stand where others will not. And he's sending his attorney general around the world now, or at least to Italy, maybe to Australia next, to gather evidence on what happened in 2016. He doesn't want this to happen again. He says over and over again, no president should have to put up with this. My father wrote in the August 2019 Trumpet article, Can President Trump Get Control of His Divided Government? This is just a month or two ago. He says, since Donald Trump became president, a dangerous level of corruption has been exposed in America's federal government. Officials within several powerful government agencies have worked actively to sabotage Mr. Trump and overturn the results of the 2016 presidential election. This is treasonous behavior and a bigger threat to America than most people realize. They're guilty of treason. The president pointed that out yesterday with respect to Adam Schiff. And that angers his opponents. They can say he's treasonous all that they want. But you look up the dictionary definition of treason, and you know where it's happening. You know who the real treasonous agents are. He says, the facts reveal widespread complicity within the CIA and the Justice Department, including the FBI, along with other government agencies, with direction from the White House and total support from the mainstream media. We see that the Obama administration got a frightening degree of control over those agencies. And we see officials who consider themselves above the law, who are willing to use deceit, slander, and practically any other means necessary to hold or to reclaim power at any cost. It says, to make this reality more alarming, none of it would have seen daylight had Mr. Trump not won the election. But God wanted it exposed. God, he says, wanted it exposed. It's amazing that MSNBC and CNN, whenever there's a crazy day like the one yesterday, they always march out the ones that were there when Obama was running the deep state. Andy McCabe, Jim Comey, John Brennan, he was on MSNBC yesterday, revealing here at the outset of this clip that he's about to be interviewed by Mr. Durham, which is interesting. John Brennan. So the shoe is definitely on the other foot. The investigators are being investigated. And here's what Mr. Brennan thinks about that. This is clip 15.
And I'm supposedly going to be interviewed by Mr. Durham as part of this non-investigation. I remember William Barr, you know, when he was testifying in front of Congress, he said he didn't understand the predication of the counterintelligence investigation that was launched into Russia's interference in the 2016 election. I don't understand the predication of this worldwide effort to try to uncover dirt, either real or imagined, that would discredit that investigation in 2016 into Russian interference. You know, on one hand, the Obama administration is crucified for not doing enough. Mm-hmm. And now they're looking for what we might have done in order to try to understand better and to prevent the Russian interference. And I do agree, it's not just that Trump doesn't care about Russian interference. I think he is hoping that he's going to get it, because he knows that Russia interfered on his behalf. And I think as he sees his political fortunes dwindling, I think he really is hoping that his pal Vladimir is going to come through once again and help him get elected in 2020 if he's going to be in office by then.
That hoax, that narrative has been thoroughly discredited. He is still, this is the former director of the CIA, saying that Donald Trump's pal, Vladimir, is going to help him get elected in 2020. They won't let it go. They still believe. I've got this article from Politico. This is from January 11th, 2017. This is from a left-wing news agency. Ukrainian efforts to sabotage Trump backfire. Ukrainian efforts to sabotage Trump. They were working to undermine Trump, the Democrats, with Ukrainian officials to prevent him from being elected. That's what actually happened. If you go back to the origins of this investigation, the counterintelligence investigation into Donald Trump, and even the way that Brennan and his people went about, you know, remember the rush to get this intelligence assessment out just days before Donald Trump would be inaugurated. They finally came around to say, well, actually, Russia did interfere. You know, the clips I've played before, Obama back before the election said no serious person would think Russia could meddle. It's, you know, it's too decentralized what we have in place. There's no way it could happen. They might try, but it's not going to influence the election. Then Donald Trump wins, and they say, actually, it did influence the election. And now you hear Brennan, as you just heard there, still, his pal Vladimir. Well, as he also revealed there, he's about to be interviewed by Mr. Durham. He's one of the investigators helping the Attorney General, William Barr. Well, going back to the president's reaction yesterday, a strong one at that. Here's what he had to say in this this press conference with the president of Finland standing next to him awkwardly. Clip number 9.
To impeach a president over a fraud that was committed by other people that want to win an election in 2020, which they won't, is incredible. So this is the greatest hoax. Now, it's gone on for a long time. We had the Mueller collusion delusion, okay? That went on for years. And that's finally done. No collusion, no obstruction, no nothing. It was a joke, and everyone knows it. And it was from the day one. Now, I get 3 days of peace, and I'm walking into the United Nations, going to meet with the biggest leaders in the world. And I hear about the word impeachment. I said, what did I do now?
That's the president yesterday again at the press conference. And you see just how this just totally undermines America's position abroad. Having to release the transcript of a private phone conversation. That means world leaders are going to be thinking twice about what they say over the phone with the president. It's obviously brought instability to the financial markets, this impeachment push. And yet his opponents, they don't care. They don't care about any of that. As long as it brings down this president, that's all that matters. During this press conference, there was a reporter who stood up. I think he works for Reuters. But he asked the question, do you consider anyone who opposes you treasonous? Anyone? Do you think about that question for a moment? You're saying, if I get what you mean, I'm divining this, really, is what he's saying. I'm divining that you think everyone who opposes you is a treasonous agent. This is because of what he said about Adam Schiff. Here's how the president responded to that reporter's question, clip 10.
I consider when they lie, when they stand before our great body in our great chamber, and they make up a story that's fiction, like Schiff did. He took that perfect conversation I had with the Ukrainian president, and he made it into a total lie. It was a total fabrication. And you do admit that. It was a total fabrication.
Exposing the truth about these lies, these fabrications. Well, here's this reporter, just to give you an idea of where this press conference went. He's standing there asking all of them, all that they're curious about or interested in is the impeachment push, Adam Schiff, the statements the president made about him and these lies. And the reporter persisted, and the president wanted him to direct a question to the president of Finland. How about addressing him or asking him about some of the discussions we had today? So here's the back and forth between President Trump and this Reuters reporter, clip 11.
The question, sir, was what did you want President Zelensky to do about Vice President Biden and his son, Hunter?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, it was just a follow-up of what I just asked you, sir.
Listen, you ready? We have the President of Finland. Ask him a question.
I have one for him. I just wanted to follow up on the one that I asked you, which was,
did you hear me?
What did you want?
Did you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Ask him a question.
I will, but
I've given you a long answer. Ask this gentleman a question. Don't be rude.
No, sir, I don't want to be rude. I just wanted you to have a chance to answer the question that I asked you.
I've answered everything. It's a whole hoax. And you know who's playing into the hoax? People like you and the fake news media that we have in this country. And I say in many cases, the corrupt media, because you're corrupt. Much of the media in this country is not just fake, it's corrupt. And you have some very fine people, too. Great journalists, great reporters. But it, to a large extent, it's corrupt and it's fake. Ask the president of Finland a question, please.
Ask the president of Finland a question, please. And to his credit, the reporter finally did back down and direct a question to the president of Finland. But that's what the president, that's the position. After giving a long answer, explaining everything behind this fabrication, this hoax, then he wants to get into Vice President Biden and his son. And I don't have time to play the clips from yesterday on that. But the president really hammered those two as well. He's taken a stand. I just want to finish with one final clip. This is a fascinating part of all of this as well. Just how much that this president puts up with. And he talks a little bit about the stand that he's taken. Clip number 14.
So the political storm, I've lived with it from the day I got elected. I've done more, and this administration has done more than any administration in the history of this country in the first 2.5 years. I'm used to it. For me, it's like putting on a suit in the morning. People have said to me, how does he handle it? Rush Limbaugh said, I don't know of any man in America that could handle it. Sean Hannity said the same thing. Others have said the same thing. I don't know any man in America, because it's all a fraud. And because of that, and because I know that I'm right, and because I'm doing a great job for the American people, I'm very, very happy living the way I'm living. I thought that I would finish off the first term without the threat of people making false claims. But this one turned out to be incredible, all because they didn't know that I had a transcript done by very, very talented people, word for word, comma for comma, done by people that do it for a living. We had an exact transcript. And when we produced that transcript, they died. Because you look at the whistleblower statement, and it's vicious.
That's the president yesterday talking about the stand that he takes against these radical anti-American forces. It is, as my father said, quite something to behold. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. That's all we have time for today, but hopefully we can get back into some of this tomorrow. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you then.